Work moves fast. Every email, report, and proposal counts. That's where Grammarly comes in. It's your one place to think, write, and finish. Grammarly's AI agents help you find natural phrasing, fine-tune tone, and confidently write wherever you work. It's the premier writing tool that 93% of users trust to get more work done. In a world of generic AI, don't sound like everyone else. With Grammarly, you never will. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, we open up the phone lines to hear your real ghost stories called in by real people. That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, an 855-853-4802. The phone number, write in at realghoststoriesonline.com to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Also, love to have you as an EPP, an extra podcast person. That's a supporter of our program. When you are an EPP, here's what you get. You get bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, access to our archive of almost 300 of them. Those are jam-packed with some of our best ghost stories. You also get a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book. You get the audiobook as well. You also get advanced episodes of the program that you hear throughout the week, except you get those episodes weeks before the general public and with no commercials in whatsoever. So a lot of advantages there. It's only $5. Your $5 goes into the pot of let's keep this show on the air and covers our expenses to do this thing and allows us to exist. So if you like it, please chip in $5, cut the cost of a cup of coffee or something, and you'll keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to do just that. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. What's going on, Carol?
That $5 is like one iced tea at Starbucks. I don't know how much your coffee costs because I don't drink it, but they have the most expensive iced tea in the world.
It is. It's good iced tea, though. It's that Teavana
stuff.
It is
really good. Yeah. But I get up to pay. I'm like, I'd get an iced tea, but I can go to the Quick Trip and get it for one-fifth the price.
You know, I drink.
Which, by the way, Quick Trips are my favorite place on the world. And if you live in a town that doesn't have one, I'm really sorry. And I do not endorse them or anything. I just love them so much.
It's not an ad. No, we were in, where were we the other day? Oklahoma a couple weeks ago. And we're like, hey,
where they were founded.
Quick Trip. We haven't been to a Quick Trip in years. So we stopped in. But on the iced tea subject, this is not an ad for anything, but I like to share things that I like. And I drink loose leaf tea all the time. I have a pot specifically for loose leaf tea, and I drink it all day, all night. It's what keeps my voice alive. And I get all of my tea, and I'll give these guys a free plug, and I've plugged them on Facebook and Instagram before because I love them. The Spice Merchant in Wichita. They have the best tea selection. It's super fair priced, best prices I've ever seen on tea, and they will ship it anywhere in the country, as far as I'm aware. I order from them all the time.
Tea and coffee.
Yeah, they have great coffee too. Again, not an ad, they're not paying for this, but hey guys, there you go. There is $700 in free advertising for you right there. I'll take my $700 in free tea. No, I'm kidding. No, but it's great stuff. They do a really good job. So I always like talking about places and people that I love. It's a great place.
I like local places like that too.
Yeah.
That, you know, do really, and they've been around forever.
Yeah. Spice Merchant is one of my favorites. The grapefruit, there's like a grapefruit green tea I get, and that's excellent for my voice. And chamomile, they have great chamomile tea. Anyway, that's tea. Let's talk about ghosts. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to this recording that somebody sent in from their mobile device. Hi.
This is Julia. I'm calling in with my real ghost story. So about a week ago, I went on a business trip to Detroit, and knowing that it was going to be, you know, a really quick business trip, just a one night, overnight kind of deal, I didn't really do, you know, much research into the city. I had never been. And so I didn't expect that we would have time to sightsee on this trip particularly. So I just thought, okay, we're going to Detroit, you know, staying a night, coming back. Our days are going to be pretty full with the activities for work. So I didn't do any research into where we were staying or anything like that. I know Detroit has a lot of history, but I just didn't really go into it expecting anything at all. I can't highlight that enough. So anyway, the first night we were there, so we were staying at the Doubletree Inn and Suites, which used to be, I think, the Fort Shelby Hotel. That piece of information I found out later because of the events that I'm about to describe to you. So to my knowledge, we were just going to stay at the Doubletree, just one overnight, you know, checking in and checking out very quick. But I'm a huge fan of the show Peaky Blinders. And in that show, the last name of the family is Shelby. So I remember when we came out of the Doubletree the next morning, seeing an awning that said Shelby. And I thought, oh, that's cool. You know, I'm going to take a picture of it because it's like the Shelby family in Peaky Blinders. So that name stuck in my head, you know, for a reason. And I hadn't heard that before or anything. So what happened was, we had our full day, you know, our first day in Detroit, went to meetings, went to dinner. I got back to the room that I had only really spent 10 minutes in prior to that when we first checked in, you know, just to go to sleep. I was pretty tired after a long day. So I went to bed, got a pretty good night's rest, except for, so my room was kind of like a two-room setup. So you would walk in through the front door and there would be like a little living room area and then the bedroom in the back. And there was a door to the bedroom as well, even though it was just a single bedroom suite, I guess. I left that door open just because I figured, you know, I'm here by myself. I don't need to close this bedroom door because I don't know. I don't like feeling closed in when I sleep. I don't normally sleep with the door closed. But the outside door to the room, I had closed, latched, and then with that little slide over bolt thing that you can only open from the inside. So anyway, I went to sleep, you know, was happy, content, had a good day. And also, quick side note, I'm pretty good with vibes of a place. I've been to places before where I have felt super uncomfortable and wanted to leave. And so I would say I have a pretty good sense about those things normally. Didn't pick up any vibes from this place. Could have also been that, you know, I wasn't there very long. We were very busy and I was tired. So I go to sleep and I woke up a couple hours before, well, it was about an hour at that point, before my alarm was supposed to go off, which is unusual for me. I'm not that person that has like a morning internal clock that's like, no matter what, I get up at 6 a.m. every day. So I woke up at like 5 to the sound of somebody coming in my room. And I remember it was the weirdest thing because you'd think if you hear somebody coming into your room, you would get really alarmed. Be like, oh my God, there's an intruder in my room. Like somebody broke into my room. But the best way I can describe it to you is I woke up knowing that I woke up because somebody had come into my room. And it was like a very matter-of-fact thought that entered in my head. Oh, somebody just came into my room and I could feel like a presence standing in my room. But I weirdly felt a sense of calm. I wasn't afraid at all, which is also strange. But I know for a fact I was not dreaming. I remember looking at the clock, but I definitely did that thing where you don't really let yourself fully wake up because I wanted to go back to sleep and I didn't feel alarmed for some weird reason, even though I was very sure that somebody just walked into my room. And I don't remember hearing like any specific sounds, but it was like the sound of like an entry waking me up. And I didn't see anybody because I didn't look. So I stared straight at my alarm clock and was like, you know what? I don't want to fully wake up. I don't want to see whatever this is. I'm just going to go back to sleep. And like, maybe I was dreaming. I don't know. So I went back to sleep pretty quickly just because I felt that weird sense of calm as much as I knew somebody was in my room. So So I woke up the next morning, you know, I'm getting ready for the day. I'm about to meet my coworkers downstairs so we can head over to the office. And I just can't shake this thought from my head. Like, I swear somebody was in my room this morning. Like, just from the feeling of a presence, like, I had literally heard somebody walk in. So I had half a mind to walk downstairs to meet my coworkers and lead with, so is this hotel haunted? But I decided not to, because I was like, these people are going to think, like, who knows? Who knows what they'll think? Like, it's easy for me to believe in these kinds of things, you know, because I've had different experiences to, you know, varying levels. But I was toying with the idea of telling my coworkers, like, you know, by the way, is this hotel haunted? Because, like, somebody came in my room this morning. But I decided not to say anything. I think, you know, I'm being silly or overly sensitive, or I'm making it up, blah, blah, blah. So just went about the day. You know, we had checked out that morning, finished our work day, drove home, and, you know, it's nighttime again. I'm back at my apartment, and I cannot shake the feeling of, like, I need to know, like, am I crazy? Did this actually happen? So I hit Google, and I was looking up Haunted Hotels Detroit, and I couldn't find the DoubleTree on there until I learned that the DoubleTree used to be Fort Shelby. Well, when I Googled Fort Shelby, it was a completely different story. So apparently the Fort Shelby building was deserted at some period of time, and there was a homeless man who was reported to basically live in there. And from what I found online, he met his demise at the hotel because of some unfortunate incident in the basement, in which I think he fell through some of the floorboards. And so he died in that place. And it's said that even the homeless people that kind of circulate that area in Detroit will stay far away from that particular building. They leave, like, a decent radius around the DoubleTree, interestingly enough. And I dug a little deeper and found multiple reports online of people saying that they saw people walking around on the hallway, people coming into their rooms. There's, like, a man that walks around in the lobby that's supposed to be, I think his name was Al, this homeless guy. People say there's, you know, varying degrees of activity in rooms. Some people say, oh, I stayed here and I had horrible, horrible dreams all night. Some people say that they could hear, like, a pillow being slammed down on the bed next to them while they were trying to sleep. You know, other reports of people's rooms being entered. Somebody also said that they heard their room door repeatedly opening and closing. So after reading all that, I was like, A, I'm creeped out, but B, I'm not crazy, because I went in there with a completely blind test. Wasn't even thinking, I wonder if this hotel's haunted, you know, going into it. None of that. So I could definitively tell you that I've proved, you know, that theory, at least. I went in with no bias and had an interesting experience. What's kind of interesting for me is that some of the stories that people reported, you know, talking about feeling really bothered or having bad dreams, like, I didn't really have any of that. I really can't describe enough how weird it was that I had that sense of calm. So I'm not sure if it's just, you know, Al going around to the rooms at night, popping in to say hi, see who's staying in his domain, you know, and I don't know, but at least from what I felt, it didn't feel like it was anything malicious that paid me a visit that night. So that's my story. Apparently Detroit has quite a lot of places with really interesting histories and stories, but that's the Fort Shelby. And so if you ever go to Detroit and you want to see if you can have a paranormal experience, stay at the DoubleTree and see what happens. So anyway, that's my story. It's nothing too scary, but I thought that was really cool that my experience was validated after the fact. So thanks for everything you do and for giving, you know, people like me a platform whenever I can't walk downstairs and ask my coworkers, hey, is this hotel haunted? Thanks. Bye.
I was doing some Googling of that hotel while we were hearing the story. It's a neat structure, and it was in 2006, I believe, that they restored it. It had been vacant since, what was the year? I think 74 is when it closed.
Oh, my God.
So 74 to 2007 is when the renovations began. So it sat there forever vacant. And I used to have this fascination with, I still do this fascination, but I loved looking up the buildings of Detroit, especially in the early parts of the 2000s where urban exploration was kind of getting off the ground and everybody could take pictures anywhere with devices and things like that. There was a new concept once. And so all these amazing photos were coming out of these buildings in Detroit. And I remember looking at the photos of this building pre-renovation, and they've done an amazing job of getting that hotel up and turned back to its original original beauty. It's one of those classic hotels. So I'd love to stay there. It looks really cool.
Okay, so I wouldn't. Now that I've heard that story, I will never stay there. But what I love about stories like that is that she went into it not expecting anything. Like, you know, I would be the same way. It's a DoubleTree. It's not haunted.
Sure.
And maybe when I walked in, you know, depending on what it looked like, I don't know. But she's busy. She's working, sound asleep, and is woken up like that. And, like, because sometimes people go in expecting things, and maybe then you might be more open to hearing something that really isn't a haunting. It's the heater. But I just... stories like that, like, are cool, but yet I don't want to stay in that hotel either. No, you know me.
I understand. I completely understand. It's I love seeing these old structures not die, because so many of them have been torn down,
right?
And or just rotting away in cities. And it's really neat, especially in some of the very difficult circumstances that some of these cities continue to find themselves in, that they've been able to get these things almost, they're almost like islands sometimes, depending on where they're located in their cities, where you're in the building and you're good. And then you walk outside of it and it's like, holy shit. A little bit scary. I don't know what it's like in this specific area of Detroit. It's been a very long time. But I was saying at...
But she said no homeless people stayed around the hotel.
Yeah.
They were all freaked out by it.
I don't blame them. It was where was I? I think it was, I want to say Jackson, Mississippi. Last year, I think it was. I forgot the name of the hotel, but it was one of these. I'm looking at the pictures of this place. It looks a lot like it. It's of that era, just big towering brick. Once a, you know, magnificent hotel, sat abandoned for years. They got it restored. And looking at the pictures online, was like, this will be great. I can't wait. Maybe there'll be some neat stuff around it we can walk to. Oh, no. You basically want to get that car about 5 feet from the door, so you can walk directly into it and not go anywhere else, because it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. And even like the valet and everybody around there is like, don't walk around at night. Don't walk around during the day. Just go into the hotel and stay there, because it's kind of like Iraq. It's like, okay. Like, holy.
Wyoming?
No, Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh, I thought you said Jackson.
No.
I was like, Wyoming's like that?
And there's good parts of that town too, but the place where this was kind of a rough neighborhood. No, this was last year, so I imagine it probably hasn't changed that much. But yeah, I mean, it was like you are out there and burned out buildings left and right, and then just when we walked into the hotel, quite honestly, that literally 5-step walk. We were hit up by somebody asking us to follow him into the alley down the way. It's like, come to the alley here. I want to show you something. It's like, fuck no.
Yeah, right. Let me do that.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I'm going to put my bag in the room, and then I'll come and follow you to the alley.
Yeah, I'll be right back. Let's go to the alley. Do you have a kitten over there or something? Is there an ice cream truck? Is there a food truck in the alley? I'm sure that's probably what it is. You're not going to mug me, are you? So... yeah, but now we got these things being restored and stuff. I hope Now that we can work on society as a whole, that would be good too. So it's more safe for everyone and enjoyable because there's so
and
many.
Imagine that DoubleTree, if it was vacant for that long,
yeah,
you know, a lot of people were breaking into it and staying in there.
Oh yeah, it looked like it was a drug den. You can look up the
Just the years it was not a functioning hotel.
Yeah.
Imagine that history.
Yeah.
So yeah, that place has, if it wasn't haunted before in those 40 years, or however long,
probably far more things that have gone on in that building than have ever been documented, because there was no one to document it. Who knows? But anyway, very interesting place. Great photos that some urban explorers took at the first part of the 2000s. Prior to the renovation, to kind of get a perspective on it.
Just, I got
to
check that out. I'm really curious now.
Beautiful architecture. Really neat looking place. Let's go to another caller. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, guys. This is Rosemary from Missouri. I'm a longtime listener and first-time caller. I think I might be a beacon of sorts. I seem to attract energies. Like they know that I can like feel them. I can't see them. I don't really hear them, but I get their emotions, you know. And this is, I think I might be a beacon for a myriad of reasons. First of all, my mother's sister was her best friend, and unfortunately, when she was in her 20s, my Aunt Rosemary's car stalled out on a bridge, and some people in a big RV weren't looking where they were going, and they killed her. A little while after that, of course, my mother was devastated, but I actually was born pretty quickly after that. I was not planned, and I had some of the same mannerisms that my Aunt Rosemary did. So as you can imagine, I was a godsend to my mother. Also, I have been told that since I was born with red hair and pale skin and green eyes, that I was something called a rose baby. That might be like some kind of thing in Ireland or Scotland. Apparently it's like rare. Then jump to when I was 7 years old. My grandmother and my grandfather on my mother's side have lived like one field away from my house for my entire life. And, they were both very important in my life when I was younger. Went over there all the time. They were both very loving. My grandfather unfortunately had several strokes and was paralyzed, had a feeding tube. He was an outdoorsy kind of guy, so, you know, he wasn't really in the best shape. And unfortunately, when I was 7 years old, I was playing in the living room next to his bed, and I actually heard his death rattle. And it scared me, because I didn't know what was going on. And I screamed for my grandma and kept screaming for her. And I literally saw the life leave his eyes. But fortunately, my grandmother was really comforting. She told me that, you know, he was hurting, and now he wasn't hurting anymore, and that I could still talk to him whenever I wanted to, because he would still be there for me. He would still try to help me because he loved me. Anyway, the other kind of reasons is my dad grew up in a very abusive household. As a consequence, my three siblings and I all suffered varying degrees of abuse. My brother and I both tried to kill ourselves at one point because of mental illness and the added abuse. If you want me to, I can tell you about this dark thing that's living over in my parents' house. Thank God I'm no longer there. But I have some pretty scary stories, and what actually ended up being my saving grace was my grandparents, who were both dead. So, anyways, that's it. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Yeah, I think we'd love to hear more about that story and what that was like going on in that house. What do you think?
Well, yeah. Because it was like all these things happened. And then she said that her grandmother and grandfather, who are dead, were her saving grace. That's what I want to know about.
What happened?
What? Yeah. You have to call back and fill that in.
Yeah.
I need to know one of those stories. And because, you know, her life was so difficult as a kid that if her grandparents were gone, I could see that. Mm-hmm. Like, they would want to help her.
Yeah.
I need that. I need the rest of the story.
Please do, let us know the rest of that story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online, or you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Hi, what's yours?
This is Vinny from New York. Just wanted to give a call. I just got done listening to your episode, Why Do Ghosts Like Basements? And as a paranormal investigator, this is something that I find fascinating, that that I like to talk about during lectures that I give. So just a little insight for what it's worth. Just kind of unpacking this a little bit from a psychological standpoint. I always ask people toward the end of the investigations, if I was to ask a group of people, what are usually thought to be the scariest parts of a house? Now I'm going to give you guys a second to answer that. Okay. So typically 9.5 times out of 10, people will say the basement and the attic. Okay. Now, unanimously, people will say that, but we don't know as to why. So let's take a look at the why for a second. Now, this is all deep rooted in our psychology and our psyche. You know, we're scared of the basement. We're scared of the attic. Now, here's why. Okay, so when we were kids, unless you had a finished basement or attic, you typically weren't hanging out in these spaces, right? So the basement is somewhere where your dad might have his shop, or your mom might be going to do laundry, right? So it's not somewhere where as a kid you might be hanging out. It's dark, it's damp, it's loud. You get the boiler down there, the washer, the dryer, right? There's all kinds of dark corners and stuff like that. Now, as human beings, we are inherently hesitant and scared sometimes of things that we're not familiar with. That's what breeds racism. That's what breeds ignorance, right? That's what breeds just outright fear. So, you know, again, same thing with the attic. Usually kids are not hanging out in the attic. So when, you know, in the absence of us being familiar with a location, breeds all kinds of wild fantasies of what could be going on in these spaces. Now let's take it back even further to when we were cave people or living in the jungles. And hey, I can't see into that cave. I can't see what's dark and what's waiting to attack me and possibly kill me. Also, we are inherently, from this time when we were, you know, primitive people, we are scared of things that are above us and below us because we were scared of things, you know, predatory animals attacking us from above. Or when we're going through the water fishing, things attacking us from below. So again, basement below, attics above. So that's kind of the deep-rooted psychological elements as to why people have these natural hesitations and fears of these locations in a house. Perfectly normal house, could live there for years on end, but you just always get these weird feelings. Now, going back to the root of what a lot of paranormal investigators like to work with, you know, as far as like EMF levels and spikes and fluctuations, again, think about what are kept in these locations, especially at big business buildings, right? Typically in the attic and in the basement is where you're going to find boilers and pipes and all kinds of wiring and your Wi-Fi systems. And what does Wi-Fi give off? EMF. Now, what does EMF do to people? Well, it can actually affect people much like alcohol. It can make you feel nauseous, paranoid, visual disturbance, make you feel like someone's watching you. Now, what does that all sound like? That sounds like claims of the paranormal. Now, just to sum this all up, that's what we call the fear cage effect or fear cage syndrome. That's when you're in these confined spaces and you're being basically doused with these high levels of EMF and you don't realize it, but you're being affected. So, yeah, again, that's just my two cents for what it's worth. It's super interesting to me why people just have these natural fears of these locations but don't really understand why. That's not at all to say that all claims of paranormal reports coming out of basements or locations are, you know, that's to debunk them. I'm not saying that at all. But when you begin to understand the possible root causes or root feelings for these things, it might help you to understand the bigger picture as to what you're looking at. Again, any good investigator works with the evidence that they are given, not the evidence they want to find. Well, with that said, hope this made sense. Hope it makes the air. And with that said, thank you guys so much for what you do. Keep up the great work. Bye.
It's a really interesting look into the psychology of Bull then.
Like, I totally, as far as the basement and the attic go, like, yeah, I get that because the attic isn't a place for most people that is even useful space. It's just storage space and it's got cobwebs and it's dark. And then a lot of people, it's the same way with their basement.
Sure.
So yeah, I totally get that. Cause when I was a kid, that house that we lived in, the upstairs, there wasn't really an attic. There was this door in the bathroom that opened to like an attic looking space. That was super creepy, obviously. And then the basement was like almost like a dugout cellar. So they were really, really, really creepy spaces anyway. And not like everybody's house is like that. But yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense to me.
It makes me wonder when he talks about Wi-Fi and the EMF and all that, the cage effect. I've heard of those things before. I'm not an investigator, so I don't have a lot of super firsthand experience, but I know that different waves can affect you in different ways. Just like he said, almost, you know, I get drunk off my router all the time. But
you're a lightweight.
Oh my God. Once you go to that 5G shit, hold on. But seriously, I mean, it is interesting with these all these devices that we have now and all the things that we're transmitting and that were all these waves that are around us. It makes me wonder if in recent years we've seen an uptick in paranormal activity or people talking about it and reporting it, not just because they feel more comfortable to do it, because more people are openly speaking about it, but because there's just more shit going on, or we're sensing more shit than we have in the past. And not that I'm saying like it's a EMF thing and it's our own brains just doing this to us, but could some of these waves, could some of these things actually be bringing it out into the open a little bit more, where we're actually able to pick up on it more than we could in the past, almost riding these waves as a way to be seen and to be heard. I have no idea if that makes any
Not
sense.
Not even just that. Like the other day, I am by myself and I'm hearing hello, hello. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And then I realized I'd accidentally dialed someone and they're like, hello, Carol, hello. And in my head, I'm like, holy shit, there's a ghost talking to me. And it was just me being stupid and accidentally dialing someone. Hello, hello, Carol, Carol?
Where's that voice coming from?
It's a voice.
Yeah.
Or like sometimes you don't realize that you hit the thing on your phone and then it's like, you say something weird like, good movie. And then she starts talking to you. Like, if you're looking for a good movie.
Yeah.
You know.
I have Alexa.
But the other day, that was pretty funny because I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Somebody's saying hello to me.
It's creepy. Sometimes Alexa will just like, will be sitting there and nobody will have said anything. And she'll just beep, beep. I'm sorry. I didn't quite understand that. It's like, no one has said anything to you. This is creepy.
I had to unplug her. Like, I've got it on my TV. So if I'm watching TV, I can ask something. But I just unplugged the regular one because I don't really use it. But when I was watching Schitt's Creek and they're like, Alexis, and my Alexa kept going, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I'm like, my TV is talking to Alexa, and that's just weird.
Yeah.
And I really like Schitt's Creek, so I just had to unplug it so I could watch it without my damn, like, my devices talking to each other in my house.
Hate it when the robots get minds of their own.
Right.
Such a pain. Because
they'd be like, Alexis.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, I'm sorry, I don't understand your question.
That's great. You're probably not alone in that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up today's episode. If you like the show, become a supporter. That's an EPP, extra podcast person. Do it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus material and keeps us on the air. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. For Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.